Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Sports Illustrated Big Ten sports writer, Dustin Schutte. Dustin, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing really well, Jim. Last week I was complaining about the snow, but it's like 50 degrees and warm here. Well, quote, air quotes, but I'll take it. I'll take it. How about you?
Well, everything is relative. Same thing here. We're in the 40s, okay? And I will, like you, say that it's warm. And I'm that kind of guy. You know how those commercials about you're turning into your parents? And yes. One of the things they say is, don't talk about the weather. You know, that's the old people thing. Guess what I do all the time? Whether I look at the long range forecast, I dwell on it. And I don't see any snow in the long range forecast. Not that that means that much, but I shall take it. All right, let's shift. Let's get to sports. But before we even get to our main thing, football, we're approaching March. You're doing a lot of basketball coverage. You must be all pumped up getting ready for March Madness.
Oh, my gosh, Jim. These next couple of weeks are going to be hectic. Covering, as people know probably by now, a lot of my responsibilities lie in covering Purdue, but I'll be at the Big Ten tournament. We've got potentially the women's tournament, and then obviously March Madness. So this is like by far the busiest time that I have these next couple of weeks, but it's all good. It's a lot of fun. What's the John Rothstein saying? We sleep in May or whatever, because shortly after March Madness too, that transfer portal is going to open up. So it's going to be a free for all then too.
Well, I was going to say that we at least have spring football games, but that may not last much longer either, will it?
Yeah, that's a good point. There's those things are dropping like flies, which I'm going to be honest, that's fine with me. You don't take much from it.
Well, see, I don't like it at all, Dustin. It's so traditional. And at Penn State, it's a big deal, has always been a big deal. And it's mostly for the fans. And I find it difficult to take this coach speak, this, other coaches are going to scout our players, or it's a hassle or injury risk. Or my goodness, you play 17 games in the fall. If you don't want – and again, using Penn State as an example, the veteran running backs, the veteran quarterback, you know what? Don't play them in the spring game. No need to. You've got a 100-man roster with walk-ons. You've got a lot of guys who you could put on the field. How about putting the young guys out there? And believe me, the fan base, they want to see the young guys play.
Sure. I can understand from that perspective. And I think a lot of times, like the cool thing about the spring game is a lot of times it gives fans the opportunity to go to games that maybe otherwise wouldn't be able to, whether that's because of distance or cost or whatever the case may be. I'm thinking though, and I don't know this for a fact, I would guess a lot of those programs are going to substitute that out with some sort of like fan day where maybe they get to watch a practice and then get not interviews, but autographs and pictures and all that kind of stuff. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know. It's just one thing that another aspect of college football that I don't think anybody ever thought would change, but it has because of the climate. I don't know. It really doesn't bother me, but I'm also somebody who never had a tradition of going to spring games. Like I think, from the journalist side of me, Jim, wrote so many stories about X, Y, and Z player or this team might be good. And then, you know, fall rolls around and they suck or it's the complete opposite of what I expected. And I'm like, okay, well, I read way too much into that spring game. So I can understand the fan perspective on that side of it. And it's the same thing that we've kind of talked about with the non-conference schedules, right? Like you as a fan are not a huge proponent of that Penn State non-conference schedule, but as a Penn State fan who wants to see his team get in the playoff, when you just saw Indiana go 11-1 with a trash non-conference schedule, why not just build in 3 wins because you've got to play a 9-game Big Ten schedule?
Well, I understand that, and candidly, I get it more from a Indiana Purdue perspective. Get me 3 cupcakes in the non-conference so I could be 3-0. Then when I win, you know, when I go 3-6 in the conference, I can get those 3 out-of-conference games. Say I went 500, 6-6. I'm eligible for a bowl game. Get lucky there. All of a sudden, I have a winning record with a trash team, and it's job preservation. I get that. But it's not good for the game overall that you have, you know, Penn State playing Villanova. You have Alabama playing East Podunk. Makes no sense. And I also get the, oh, they're being altruistic. We're giving East Podunk a payday, which helps their athletic department. So we're doing this out of the good of our hearts.
Right.
Well, you know, and that's where I feel like the one of the solutions, which will absolutely never happen, Dustin, never happen, but it's a brilliant idea, is Penn State should play Villanova in the spring game.
Yes. Okay? No, I'm 100% with you on this. Yes.
And you, as a fan, okay, you get to see your team play a team wearing a different color uniform. You then get – have Penn State play their young guys. It gives them some game experience. You don't put Drew Aller, Nick Singleton, Katron Allen out there. No need to. And, well, what if Villanova beats Penn State's youngsters? Dustin, don't care. Don't care. But it's a sort of kind of competitive game, and it's fun for the fans. And I know there's no coach in college football who will allow it. But, Dustin, if I were king of college football, that's what they would do.
Yes, I'm with you on that. And I don't know whether it would be just the spring game, or what I've proposed to is eliminate one game of the college football season. And about the second week of August, do that, play a scrimmage basically against an FCS team. And, you know, get your just like they do in the NFL with preseason, get your ones, you know, one quarter of reps, and then the rest is going to be rotation guys, backups, all that kind of stuff. So I'm actually with you on this one. If they were going to do a spring game or any sort of exhibition or scrimmage or whatever, I'd be all in favor of that. And that's usually a way, like some of these teams, Purdue and Indiana usually will play Indiana State. Right. So it's a good way to get those teams in the state that maybe don't have the same funding, a chance to get them a little bit of a payday. And maybe you don't have to pay them $500,000. Maybe if it's a scrimmage, you can pay them $250,000. I don't know. I'm just trying to be economical here, Jim, because we know these schools are bleeding for money right now.
Well, they are. They're all looking for money. But if you did that kind of scrimmage, you know, most spring games, it's free entry. Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you have another team there, maybe you charge $10 to get in the door. And if you're, you know, a stadium with 100,000 people, $10 a piece, you just raised $1 million, charge $5 for parking, you get another couple $100,000, and you could pay the bill, and Villanova or Indiana State can get a payday. And also, players from those FCS teams could get a chance to play in front of a bigger crowd in a bigger stadium. You know, if you're from Pennsylvania, you grew up either loving or maybe hating Penn State, but that same opportunity, you know about Penn State, you know about Beaver Stadium. And if you're a kid, again, who's only a Villanova level player, you get a chance to play in that stadium once. And from the fan perspective, as I said, that's this, you know, fan fest kind of thing. Sorry, Dustin. Don't care. I don't care. But if you create that game atmosphere, especially, you brought up a great point. If you've got a family that really, it's expensive to go yeah. to a major college football game. Here, this becomes affordable, and you could take the kids. And you know what? When you have a 5, 6, 7-year-old, he doesn't care if Penn State's playing Villanova instead of playing Ohio State.
Right.
It's still the atmosphere and being there. So, Dustin, and I'm going to, you know, the bigger picture, we're going to get into this whole, you know, Big Ten Southeast Conference and what they're pushing for in college football. But, and the end answer to every question we're going to discuss is going to be money. That's going to be the answer. No matter what the question is, money's going to be the answer. So could they, for just once, one time, take into consideration the fans?
You would like to think so, but that's just, it's not going to happen. I think they try to cloak things with what they're doing for the fans, and it's not the case. It's always about the money, the dollar. And to some extent, look, I hate it as a fan of the sport. I don't like it, but to some extent I understand, because now you've got to, like, you're paying these coaches and insane amount of money. You are going to have to start paying them even more. The players an insane amount of money. So now it's all like everything's out the window for the fans. But what's always crazy to me is like, who's paying the bill a lot of these times? It's the people watching the games. It's the people coming to your stadium. It's the people buying the sodas and the popcorn and the pretzel and the hot dog that have put you in this kind of position. So like, I think sometimes we lose sight of that. One of the funny things I thought was when they were kind of pushing for this NIL stuff was there were a lot of players who said, yeah, us playing is not for your enjoyment. And I'm like, that is 1000%. If we didn't watch, you wouldn't be playing football. Like it's a pretty easy concept to understand. So, but I mean, it's become the, I don't know what else to say, because you already said everything we're going to talk about is the money. So that's all that's being pushed right now.
And you know what, Dustin? It is about the money, but there's the point you reach where you overreach and you kill the golden goose. As I'm going to be mixing metaphors, I'll give you that warning ahead of time for the rest of the show. But we are going to pick it up in the second quarter with some of those things the SEC and Big Ten are looking for. We'll do that after this. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m., and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Dustin Schutte. I'm Jim Galante. You know, I was talking about overreaching, and that's when it starts to become a problem with the money. And my father, who was a money guy, an accountant, and in following the stock market, his saying was, bears and bulls will eat fine, but pigs get slaughtered. And that's the point. Don't get piggish about things. And I think that's what's happening with college football. Now, some of these things, though, Dustin, that they're pushing for, it's no doubt it's about money. It's money for themselves, the Big Ten, the Southeast Conference. But some of the end results of these things aren't so bad. Let's start with what the Southeast Conference and Big Ten are looking for. Ultimately, a lot of the end result, people are talking about the playoffs, but it's a bigger picture than that. Let me start with this, Dustin. Are we on a path where eventually we are going to end with it's a Southeast Conference, Big Ten, college football world, and the rest of the conferences are going to go away, and maybe a couple of those teams might survive by joining in with the Big Ten and Southeast Conference?
That's a really good question. Man, I think we are getting to the point where, I mean, those two conferences already obviously dominate the sport and college athletics. I don't know because here's what I don't know. I don't know if some of those other schools that are still out there might be a handful, like a Notre Dame or a Miami or Florida State, bring financial value. But what does like Washington State or Colorado or Utah or Arizona State, like what do those schools bring to the conference? So is it worth, I don't know if your expansion is worth what you're going to be paying them. Like, I don't know if they, I don't know. I mean, you'd have probably, I think you would see some teams that maybe get cut out if they decided that they were going to expand even further. I don't know if we're ever going to just see the two conferences. I could see it where we just got to four conferences. I think I talked about this on the last show. Like, I don't know how the Sun Belt, the MAC, some of those other conferences, the Mountain West, like, I don't know how some of those other conferences are going to survive. So I think we are going to get to a point where it's just the Power Four, and maybe some of those smaller schools can do enough to get into those Power Four leagues, the Big 12 and the ACC, and maybe you'll see some maneuvering with the Big Ten and the SEC and some other teams jump in there. But I don't know. It could be. I think what's good, I can't imagine we're going to see this go all the way where it's these power conferences. I do think at some point down the road, I think we're going to get smaller conferences again. Now, it might take a while, but I think that you're just going to see these conferences split up, and I don't know what that's going to look like. But I don't know. It's just a crazy new world. But I don't know.
I could see that too. I don't think, I think we hit a little bit of a tipping point where you hit it. There is no more outside of Notre Dame. Is there another school that actually brings more eyeballs, more money to the Southeast Conference or the Big Ten?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you could probably make an argument for maybe a Florida State, but Florida is by far like the most dominant school in that state in terms of fandom. So they've already got that. I don't even know who else, like if you wanted to dominate Texas, you could bring Texas Tech and Baylor, but they don't have a huge, I mean, it's not a massive following. I don't know that there's another school out there outside of Notre Dame. So again, like, and when you're talking about the other 16 schools in there, are they going to be saying, yeah, let's bring in Arizona State and Texas Tech? A lot of those schools like Alabama, LSU, Texas are going to say, we're not cutting into our profits for these schools that aren't going to bring us anything. So that's where I think there's a little bit, like you said, a tipping point or like a line of demarcation as to where like the juice isn't worth the squeeze. Like, I think the SEC and the Big Ten, like you said, outside of Notre Dame and then adding maybe one other school to try to keep it at an even number, outside of that, I don't know that there's another program out there that's going to offer that much more to either the Big Ten or the SEC.
Well, the Florida State and Clemson, the two schools that really, really want to get out of the ACC or thought they did.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's not going to be any public conversation with those schools in either the Big Ten or Southeast Conference, but I'm sure there's back channel conversations. But I think the conversation from the two conferences is, no, we have stay where you are because you don't add anything to us. It's not the extra inventory is not going to change things. We're not going to get. Already the Southeast Conference, if they wanted to put more good games out there, I've got an easy solution for you. Nine conference games instead of eight.
Right. It's as easy as that.
Right. So let's get to some of these other topics that where the Southeast Conference and the Big Ten lie right now. They're already meeting, and one of the things that they're asking for, talking about, is automatic bids. That seems to be the one topic. It's a real trigger point for people. And what they're talking about doing is we want to expand the playoffs from 12 to either 14 or 16 teams so we could justify getting four automatic bids each. Dustin, what's automatic bids do for you?
To me, it waters down the competition. And maybe not every single year, but you could have – so let me rephrase that. You could have – a situation where you have the Big Ten is really good like it was this year and all four teams were deserving of a spot. I don't think you can make any argument. I don't care what other people are saying. Obviously Ohio State 10-2 got in, wins the national championship. Oregon goes undefeated, wins the Big Ten. Penn State gets into the Big Ten championship game, plays Oregon well. They're able to get to the Final Four. And then Indiana at 11-1, their only loss in the regular season was to Ohio State. You know, what one of the eight best teams in the country, right? So you could have situations like that. But the flip side of that is you could have a year in which the SEC had, and you have three teams that you think deserve a spot, but who's that fourth team? Is it going to a three-loss Alabama that lost to Oklahoma and Vanderbilt? Is it going to a three-loss Ole Miss that lost to a 4-8 Kentucky team? Like, that's where, to me, when you automatically bid, like some of those games don't we a lot of people said when you expanded to 12 teams, it watered down the regular season, didn't make it as important. Well, if you have four automatic bids, that kind of waters it down, because you could theoretically have a team that is 11-0 and basically, now you could fight for seeding, but as 11-0 and going into that final week, let's say it's not a rivalry game for what they played their rival earlier in the season. Michigan State would be a good example. Usually they play Michigan in October and then they play like some sort of rotation between like Rutgers, Maryland, or Penn State. So not, but if they're 11-0 and they know that they're already going to the Big Ten championship game, does that last game really mean anything? Maybe I rest my guys so I don't risk injury. Right. So there you devalue that. And you probably already know if you go to the Big Ten championship game, you're probably locked up a spot in the playoff. So you could make the argument that, yeah, they're still fighting for seeding. They want to get the best overall path to the championship game. But at the same time, if you got some guys who are nicked up or you just don't want to risk the injury and say, hey, if we win the Big Ten championship, we're going to win. We're going to get the top seed anyway. You could have that sort of situation unfold in college football just because we see it in the NFL all the time.
Well, I'll start with this, Dustin. The idea of the four automatic bids just turns my stomach, okay? It's wrong. It's wrong in the competitive nature. As you point out, maybe a conference has a down year. So it to me, it's so wrong. However, with that said, here's why I don't have the same problem that a lot of people have. First of all, if you go back the 10 years of the 14 college playoff and stretch it out to 12 or 14 or 16 teams, you would almost, without exception, get at least four teams from the Southeast Conference or the Big Ten. So in reality, it's not like there's not much chance that if it was done differently, you'd only get two teams from the Southeast Conference. Okay. Now, the other part to the equation is with the automatic bids, why do those conferences want them? Well, obviously, they want to get more teams into the playoffs. They want to get a minimum. But what it also does is gives them the freedom to do other things that can help them make money. But those other things that make money still work out for the fan. Here's where I'm headed with this, is if you, the Southeast Conference now could go to a nine conference game schedule without it affecting them too terribly for the playoffs well, we're going to get four teams anyway, so that doesn't matter. What it could also mean is, gee, we could have this Southeast Conference Big Ten Challenge somewhere in the season, and you know what? That loss won't hurt my chances to make the playoffs. So now, as I said, those two conferences will do it all because of money. That's the only reason, Dustin, only reason. However, if we as fans are the beneficiary of it, then I don't have a problem with it.
Sure. I'm going to hit on the first point that you mentioned in the fact that both conferences would probably get four teams most years anyway. How many bids, automatic bids, does every conference get for the NCAA tournament?
One.
Correct. Now, if you move that number up to four, do you think it's going to change the NCAA tournament that much?
No.
Correct. So, but to me, the problem is there is that opportunity that if you don't have a great season, you could still get into the playoff. And that's where I think the unfairness comes in. Now, I understand your point too, and I think it's a good one, that if it's benefiting the fans where you don't have teams canceling these home and home games with other Power Four teams to just sneak in, if you kind of guaranteed that, then I think that does benefit college football.
All right, that's the final word for quarter two. When we come back, quarter three, I will tell Dustin why he is wrong. Stay tuned for that.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three of our show. I'm Jim Galante, and he is the Dustin Schutte, who was completely and totally wrong with what he had to say to finish up quarter number two. Now, actually, Dustin, you are not incorrect, but there are some real big differences between college football and college basketball with the tournament. You brought up how many automatic bids do they have in NCAA basketball, and the answer is one. But how many games, regular season games, do they play in basketball?
Yeah, usually between 30 and 35.
Okay. So if an out-of-conference game between Duke and Purdue in October happens, whoever loses, what effect does that have on their ability to make the playoffs or make the tournament, Dustin?
It doesn't have a big one.
I would say it almost has zero effect.
Right.
And that's not the case in football right now, you know, because you play 12 games. And that is why we get, you know, four games against Podunk, East Podunk, West Podunk, North Podunk. What did I miss? South Podunk for those four non-conference games if you're in the Southeast Conference. So you have an automatic four wins. So anything that changes that so that we can get more games, you know, like, what is it? Who's Texas playing this year? Ohio State?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We are going to lose those games completely, and I don't want that to happen. In fact, I want more of those games. So if having these automatic bids, which, as you said, typically will have no effect on who makes the playoffs, because even in this down year this past season with the Southeast Conference, if there were 14-team or 16-team tournament, even without the automatic bids, they would have gotten a fourth or even fifth bid with Alabama. Wasn't Alabama the first team out?
I think so, yeah.
So if it were just 14 teams, Alabama would have made it, and there's your four Southeast Conference representatives. So as much as, like I said, it sticks me the wrong way to have auto bids. When you think about it, I don't think it really affects anything. Now, let's shift gears just a little bit and talk about if we have this Big Ten Southeast Conference world that they want to create, Dustin, how about having a Southeast Conference Big Ten Challenge weekend? Wouldn't that be great? And, you know, if we had the Dustin Shooty plan, what would that look like?
So here's this is where I have like this moral conundrum, and it's not like it's a life and death moral conundrum, right? But why I don't understand, as of right now, the Big Ten has better television contracts. It has bigger markets. It's got bigger alumni bases. Why? Because the SEC has dragged its feet on this. Why is the Big Ten in this situation? Like, why does the Big Ten care what the SEC wants to do? Like, to me, I would say, sorry, we're not doing this. You had the opportunity to be at 9 games. We're not going to conform to you. We just got 4 teams in. Your league sucks and only got 3 teams in. Maybe you should bump up to 9 conference games. Like, to me, that's now on its face, and I'll let you respond here. I like the idea. I think a lot of people would enjoy a Big Ten SEC challenge. And I think, as you put it, if you did that all on one weekend, I don't know if it'd be middle season, early season, end of season, whatever. But so I think that would be very interesting. But I wouldn't, if I'm Tony Petitti, I wouldn't just cave because Greg Sankey dragged his feet on this.
Well, I think the ninth, I think the automatic bid, Dustin, is the precursor to these other things. And if I'm the Big Ten, I'm saying to the Southeast Conference, okay, for our support for this auto bid thing and the SEC Big Ten weekend or challenge, you've got to go to 9 conference games like we did. And the Southeast Conference, I think, by having the automatic bids, they'll finally concede and go to 9 conference games because, hey, we're still going to get 4 teams in the playoff no matter what. But if it leads to, in my mind, this, why would the Big Ten do the Big Ten Southeast Conference Challenge? Just like I said earlier, Dustin, the answer to everything is money. They can have a separate television contract for the Big Ten Southeast Conference Challenge. My plan is do it Labor Day weekend and dominate the weekend. And maybe you don't need to have, 16 teams in the Southeast Conference, 18 in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
You don't even need every single team to play in it. But how about even the top 10, top 12 teams from each conference? Start playing games Thursday night. You know, Thursday night, Friday night, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and then even Monday night on Labor Day. And you just dominated the weekend.
So, yeah, I agree. This is, again, the financial side of it, but this is going to be me getting into the weeds of this. So, as good as they were, there are not going to be a lot of teams, or there are not going to be a lot of interest in watching Indiana play, say, Missouri. There's just not. There's not going to be that same interest. So what do you do if you have – now you got 4 automatic bids, and I don't know how that's going to work out, if it's just purely standings or how that goes. But what happens if you get yourself into a situation where Indiana or a team from the Big Ten does not play in that Big Ten SEC challenge, and they are above – they end up above a team that played in the standings – and maybe Ohio State or Michigan loses a third or fourth game. Maybe they're the better football team, but they get left out because they don't get one of those automatic bids because they didn't win their Big Ten SEC challenge. Indiana's playing an FCS and 2 MAC schools, and they get 11 wins again. Like, this is me being very nitpicky because I realize, again, with 4 automatic bids, that's probably not going to happen. If it was 2 automatic bids, you could see something like that. So I understand that's nitpicky, but I could see that situation arising because I agree with you. I don't think you do all 16 teams. I would leave it to like eight or so. Maybe you do a rotation. I don't know what the answer is, but
Well, here's the thing, Dustin. I'm not sure what the right number is, and maybe it is like eight teams, okay? But you mentioned if a team who didn't play in the challenge, and let's use an example. I say get the top eight or 10 teams from each conference. And however you do that based on last year, the last 2 years, however you do it. Then if you have a situation where in Indiana, what they did this, Indiana would not have been in the challenge last year.
Right.
And they end up, you know, 11-1. You know what? People still, you're able to look at the schedule. That is part of the criteria, you know, but these games don't count in conference. So, you know what? 11-1 Indiana, they're going to make the playoffs no matter what, no matter how bad their schedule is. But if it's more like, say, they're 9-3, and they're 9-3 because their schedule was so easy, people, I think, are still smart enough to know that, hey, over here, Michigan's three losses were to Ohio State, to Oregon, and to Alabama. And Indiana's three losses were to Purdue, Indiana State, and, you know, Maryland.
Iowa.
Okay. So that would have an effect in the rankings. And I also think, though, in these games, you mentioned, gee, would Indiana, Missouri have much interest? I do think it would this year because Missouri's been good the last couple of years. Indiana was good. Now, those are the two teams that probably have not been as good as the record would indicate. But, hey, a year ago, Alabama plays Wisconsin.
Yep.
That's considered a big game. USC played LSU. Big game because it's out of conference. You know, from experience here, Dustin, Penn State had a 2 year with Auburn. And Auburn, at least over the last several years, will never be mistaken with one of the top SEC teams. But I got to tell you, Penn State fans were thrilled by it. And I was down in Auburn for when the game was played down there. Auburn fans were ecstatic over the game. And I think part of it is it was out of conference. It was early in the season before Auburn had a chance to find out they weren't very good.
Right.
So the fans are still out there because it's Auburn and they're Auburn fans. And it was an event, a huge event. And I would venture to say Alabama, Wisconsin was the same thing. So to me, this cross-conference challenge, again, looking at it totally from a fan perspective, man, I would look forward to it.
Yeah, I think most people would. Are you telling me we're going to get Ohio State, Alabama, and Michigan, Tennessee, and you know, Nebraska, LSU, or who, you know, some of those big power names in college football? If you're going to get those on a yearly basis, people are going to tune in. That's going to make buku bucks, right? And so I think that from the fan perspective is 100% why you do that. Again, there's just some intricacies that I think would have to be worked out. And again, I know the example I used is going to be, that's going to happen like once every 25 years that you would have a circumstance like that happen. Right. So I don't know. It's, I think at some point it's going to happen because you can't, at some point, these television networks, as good as the games are in conference, the television networks are going to say, all right, we're not doing this. We're not having all of these games where it's 49-7 every week. Nobody's watching. Nobody's going to advertise. We got to do something. And so I think that they're going to get out ahead of that. Now, if I'm Tony Petitti, though, what I do is I make sure that television contract is very beneficial to my league because my league was the one that started with the 9 conference games. My league is the one that's basically giving you the automatic bid. So we're going to have a good deal with Fox, and if ESPN wants to get in on it, fine, but these are going to my television partners. And I think he's smart enough. I think he's smarter than the other guy that was in that position, Jim. just a hunch.
Plus he comes from media.
Yeah. So I think if you ran it from a Big Ten perspective, if you ran it through that, I think that would be beneficial for the league.
All right. That is it for quarter three. One more quarter to go. Stick with us.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Dustin, I'm Jim. We're talking college football. We are setting up the Big Ten Southeast Conference Challenge. Dustin, I love it. The couple things that you brought up I think are important. You said, would we get those big games? Would we get Texas versus Ohio State, Alabama versus Oregon? Why not? Isn't that how they did like the Big Ten ACC basketball challenge? You know, you start from the top and how what you consider the top, whether it's last year, 2 years ago. But we do know the top of the Big Ten is going to look like Oregon, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State. We know that. What's the top of the Southeast Conference going to look like? It's going to be Georgia. It's going to be Alabama. It's going to be LSU. It's going to be Texas. It's going to be teams like that. So any permutation of those teams that I just mentioned is going to create a great game. Now, you mentioned about the TV partners. At least what I've been reading, they talked about this being a separate contract. So it would be marketed as an entity. So all of a sudden, instead of this being necessarily a Fox or an ESPN type event, it could be, we're going to the highest bidder. And again, that's the answer. Again, it's about money. And if you're getting like 8 to 10 games, well, maybe you're best served like splitting the contract.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to guess that's probably how that's going to go. And I would think that now I don't know this because I don't know what ESPN's financial situation, but I think it's pretty clear that Fox is in a really good spot. So Fox is going to get some of those games now, whether it's a large percentage, but if you get down to, let's say it's the eight, if it's an 18, and let's just use that number, Fox may say, you know what? You can have the Illinois-Missouri game. You can have, you know, but there's some other, like what you could do too is you could also make it a little, because that, I joke about those two teams because they don't have big brands, but that is a big rivalry game. Like that's the, you know, they've played basketball games in St. Louis before. Like that's it's a big rivalry more on the basketball court, but you could stir up something with football. You could get back the Nebraska-Oklahoma rivalry in a sense, right? And that would probably draw in a lot of eyeballs for one of the networks. So there's ways that you could kind of piece together. Maybe they're not the top four or five teams in each league, but you could have those still kind of rivalry games there that have somewhat gone away with a larger conference schedule and teams now scheduling, you know, easier non-conference games. So I think there's a lot of ways you can do that. I would be interested to see how it is, because it's like you said, the ACC Big Ten Challenge was kind of a different, like that wasn't the ACC Big Ten. That was an ESPN event. So the Big Ten and the ACC didn't go out and schedule those games. ESPN kind of put them together. So I would guess it would be in that same sort of form, but with eight college, like Fox, even though they've got Fox, FS1, Big Ten Network, they're probably not going to air all eight games on those networks. They're going to want those prime spots where you got, okay, we want our 12 o'clock game, our 3:30 game, and then our 7:30 game. And then maybe we stagger the other two on FS1, or maybe we play them on, if it's what you said, Jim, if it's a Labor Day weekend, maybe then we play one on Sunday and one on Monday. you know, to kind of space it out a little bit or whatever the case might be. So I think there's a lot of different ways. I think it's really interesting. But again, from the Big Ten homer side of me, as the person who's covered the league for now 10 years, I just think you got to make sure that the Big Ten is the beneficiary here. Don't let Greg Sankey push you around, because that's what he tends to do.
I think the Big Ten now, and again, in partnership with Fox, as you put it, they're in a good spot. I don't think they'll do anything but use that leverage. The other thing that came up with this that I'm really intrigued by also, Dustin, and it kind of touches on what you were talking about in the schedule, you know, late in the season, do we risk injury? Does playing the game matter? But they talked about possibly changing how conference championship week goes if there's four automatic bids. And if they did something like, well, okay, maybe we play one versus two for the conference championship, but those two teams, they're going to get the auto bids, definitely. But then make the rest of the auto bid three and four be a play-in, where three plays six and four plays five, and the winners of those two games get the automatic bid. I think one of the advantages beyond just having more football to sell is if you have an Indiana that finishes third because their schedule just was awful and they ended up third, how about making them win a game against the sixth place team in the league to make their way into the playoffs? What do you think of that idea?
I'm not a huge fan of it, because if you look at the discrepancy here between, I'm just going to use third place. Well, technically Penn State played in the championship game. Okay, so let's use Indiana. The discrepancy there is Indiana's 8-1, and then Iowa is 6-3. And let's see, I'm going to look at Iowa's schedule, because we know that Indiana's schedule, well, shoot, it doesn't give it to me, but I know that Iowa had to play Ohio State, right? So they both played Ohio State. I don't know if there was another really tough game on Iowa's schedule. I don't have it off the top of my head. And ESPN's already updated to the 2025 season, so there we go. I'm already looking ahead. But I don't like the idea of I don't know that I like the idea of a guarantee off of one game when you could have a potential bigger discrepancy. So you could have a 2-3 loss discrepancy, but because they got lucky on one game or had the better team on one day. Now, I know a little bit of this is going to be, there's going to be some schedule discrepancies. So one team may get an advantage, one team may not, but I don't know how I feel about that. I would much rather just have like they did at the end of COVID, and it doesn't have to be three versus four, five versus six, but something where you maybe take away that final week of the regular season and then have your one versus two and then have the other 16 teams play somehow. And I don't know how that would work, but I don't know that I enjoy the play in thought. But what it would do, Jim, is it doesn't put one of those teams really at a disadvantage, because you know, we saw like Ohio State didn't have to play championship weekend. So they would have loved to, don't get me wrong, but they got to sit home, relax, kick their feet up, enjoy a little football, and then get ready for their game against, you know, Oregon in the Rose Bowl or Tennessee in the first round. So I don't know.
Well, just real quick, I have Iowa's schedule in front of me. They got boat raced by Ohio State. They also lost to UCLA, loss. See? But they had wins over Minnesota, over Wisconsin, pretty dominant wins. So Iowa didn't necessarily play a great schedule either. I'm looking for their best win, and I don't see it. Against a ranked opponent. But I think and this leads also into the automatic bids, where Alabama, and I realize it was versus a team from another conference, they didn't like that their fate was determined by a committee rankings as opposed to on the field. Now, my argument is you lost it on the field. You did.
Yeah, correct.
You lost games on the field. But it then changes the responsibility for making the playoffs from the playoff committee to the conference itself and the conference rankings and on the field, how they determine you're a third place team versus a fifth place team. That determines whether you make the playoffs or not. I would think in a more general sense, it's being decided on the field versus outside the field. I'm not sure I'm looking at a little bit as someone who just loves college football. The fact that we would get within the Big Ten and within the Southeast Conference, the six top teams in each conference are going to be playing each other.
Right.
That to me is a good weekend of football.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. Like, I think, again, from the fan perspective, everybody would love that. And the other part of this too, Jim, is it's what's going to be interesting is if they do go that route, this isn't a 10-team Big Ten where everybody plays everybody and you miss like one team or two teams, like the old schedule. So you have a potential that you could have three teams in that sixth spot that all have the exact same record that never played each other. So how do you determine the tiebreaker? Does it come down to points for, points against? How do you determine that? A strength of record against or your opponent's strength of schedule or however they were going to do that? Like, there's a lot of different factors there. So I think there's going to be some things that they would have to figure out. But a lot of this sounds good from the fan perspective, right? Like SEC Big Ten Challenge, yeah. More football games on championship weekend. Yeah, absolutely. Sign me up. Fewer games against cupcakes in the non-conference. Sign me up. It's going to take a lot of work. And I don't know. I don't know if I trust. I don't know if I trust them to get it right, but I don't know. We're in a new world. So they're going to have to get creative, I think.
Well, I don't necessarily trust them to get it right because they're looking out for the best interests of college football in general, or for me, the fan.
Yeah.
They are looking for the best interests of themselves financially. And I'm just wondering if this is one of those times where them making money and me getting more better football just happens to be in sync.
It could be the perfect marriage, Jim.
It doesn't feel like it happens very often that way, Dustin, but if it can, you know, I'm all for it. And you mentioned, you know, what about if everybody finished with two losses, the tiebreaker? But isn't that the same issue you run into now? Like, who makes it to the conference championship game? We have tiebreakers for it.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, the response then is you shouldn't have lost, right? Like, you had your opportunities on the field and you didn't get it. So it's just now these days I have to do the Big Ten standings, update the standings on the Big Ten basketball side, and everybody's tied with everybody for like 7th and then 9th and then 11th. So that's just one of the thoughts that goes through my head. So what the bottom line is in when you're trying to figure this out from the college football side, I think, is nobody's going to be happy. Somebody's always going to be upset about something, the way something's determined. But I think it's in a good spot. We'll see how it unfolds.
All right. That's the final word. Thank you, Dustin. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.